Well, that's a really good question. Where do I see myself in the near future? Well, today I understand clearly what happened to me about 21 years ago when I was lying on that floor having my first Feldenkrais lesson. I improved my pain and function by increasing my self-awareness in movement. I was able to make connections, and that's what learning is about. I was making connections, or I should say, restoring connections that have been altered or changed ever since my initial accident. I recently published a research article in the Journal of Functional Neurology, Rehabilitation, and Ergonomics, and last year I presented these findings at a conference in Oxford, England. The copy of the pilot study can be found on my website if the listeners would like to go there. This study literally changed the course of where I see myself in the near future. Just in summary, the study in, or I should say, the people in this study had an average age of 72 years old. And even though they had diverse medical history and they had different functional levels, there was a significant improvement in their general health, their vitality. 73% of them had improvement in functional gains, and 90% improved their balance. So this happened in 6 weeks, meaning one time a week for an hour and a half each week. We did not work on specific balance exercises or function. So how did these people improve? Well, this study has opened the doors of neuroscience even wider, showing us that function improves through the improvement of body awareness. And I think that is why a somatic approach to exercise matters, especially as we get older. Quality function and decreased pain, well, they are organized by movement patterns. And these movement patterns, when we explore them with a sense of timing, with a sense of sequence, with a sense of weight distribution, we call it variability, the ability to experience the same movement in different positions, and something called proportional movement, where not just one area takes the movement, it's divided among many parts. And again, against or along many connections. So when we restore or make these new connections in the nervous system, we can improve the most basic motor skills and I dare say even the deepest and most subtlest attitudes of the mind. So this type of pattern exploration of movement, this is all foundational in a Feldenkrais class. But for me, I think there was something else that Dr. Feldenkrais was trying to help us all understand, besides better movement, better function. He really wanted to further human maturity. He would say that we have not yet reached our capacity to learn. And again, learning is about making connections in the abstract and even in the concrete. He would say that we really could improve our capacity to learn. We could really then use our most precious essential freedom, and that is one of choice. So, this is kind of where I see my future and contribution to the field of healthcare and movement science. People do not know, nor do they understand, that most of what they do and think is governed by habits and reflexes. I'm interested in researching and demonstrating to others that the first key to reducing fall risk and improving balance is not just doing more balance exercises or standing on one leg. The key is showing people how to release the body's natural protective reflexes that have been chronically held in place. Now, this was initially done by the brain as, again, a protective source. So you had something happen to you and the body perceived it as a threat. So whether it's on the cellular level, tendon, ligament, organ, fascia, there's a protective reflex that is automatically elicited when the area is under threat. The nervous system controls this. Now, long after healing of the tissues has occurred, the protective reflex can still be held in place and chronically held in place. And I think this is due to the brain's misinterpretation of certain sensations, specifically pressure and weight. So your listeners may not know that one of the primary functions of the brain is about survival. And it will do anything, and I mean anything and everything possible, to keep your eyes and your ears orientated toward a horizon line. These reflexes are so powerful in your body and will happen without your conscious control. So you may be familiar with the reflex that a physician does when he is testing the knee-jerk reflex, when he taps a little hammer on the tendon right below the kneecap, and all of a sudden your knee jerks and your lower leg extends. That's an example of a reflex. But we have many reflexes, and these reflexes are needed. They're important, and they should be there and function automatically and without conscious control. However, when the protective reflex is elicited, it shuts down something else. And that is something of a higher order called the equilibrium or the riding reflex. So it's somatic exploration of movement patterns or habits that releases the nervous system's need to keep the protective reflex active. So once the brain perceives that the reflex is no longer needed, then the full availability of the brain and the nervous system to activate, I would say, more mature or higher order reflexes called the equilibrium or riding reflex. They can now be accessed even unconsciously. So these are the reflexes, I should say, that change your response time and stops you from falling when all of a sudden you find yourself challenged when doing tasks that require a smaller base of support, like walking or climbing stairs, could be reaching over your head or out to the side or turning or even looking upward. So I think for me, what I see in my future is research, teaching others these simple yet profound ways of what I would call how to restore this efficient alignment that is available within each of us, to restore movement patterns, to restore these higher orders of reflexes, and by using somatic education principles. It's not only my passion or my service. I think it's an inner calling for me. I have experienced that my pain relief and improved in function just didn't help me move better. It helped me become a better version of myself, which I think is a teacher who is focused, compassionate, and in service to helping others experience a better version of themselves. For what end? Well, I think so that they too may be able to hear their inner calling and contribute to whether their family, community, or society in ways that they never knew possible. So I think that's where I see myself heading in the future. It's really helping people understand the power behind reflexes and how to bring forward what's needed to keep us more safe and upright, especially as we grow older. So I think I'd like to end my interview by saying thanks again to the listeners, and also perhaps give them that practical movement experience that I talked about in the beginning. They can use and share with other people if they like. And so it starts first with being able to sit down, Have a look over one shoulder, turning your head maybe over to the right shoulder, seeing how far, how easy, without strain, what's the capacity or quality of the movement of looking forward and looking over the right shoulder. Check it out several times. And then check that out on the left side. Turning the head, it doesn't matter how far you go. It's noticing how stiff you might feel. What's the availability of making that motion? Okay, so let's see if we can make some connections in the body that might improve the ability to release tension, tightness, decrease neck pain, and improve turning. And like I said earlier, for some people, it may even improve their balance when they're walking. So begin to squeeze your buttock cheeks together and then release. And several times as I'm talking, just go ahead, squeeze the cheeks and release. I know it's an odd thing to think of the gluteus maximus and the ability of squeezing the butt muscles when you're sitting, but we should be able to do that. Good. You might notice for some of you that as you squeeze the butt cheeks, you get a little taller. My head goes up towards the ceiling. For some of you, it might be that you feel your feet lightly start to press into the floor. Good. Two more times. One. And that you can squeeze your butt cheeks without holding your breath, of course. Good. All right. Now, I want you to squeeze only the right butt cheek and then release. Maybe 4 or 5 times, squeezing one side. Now, this can be quite difficult for some people. They've never really differentiated the two sides of their buttocks. But you can squeeze one side and then the other. And then you let that go. And then go over to the other side, the left butt cheek, squeeze it. You might feel that the left foot goes down into the floor and you still get a little taller, but you might be leaning just a skosh or a little bit to one side. And then let that go. And then squeeze both butt cheeks again. Good. Let that go. And now the side that you were having the most difficulty turning to, can you squeeze that butt cheek again? Squeeze that butt cheek. Like for me, and during this movement exercise or exploration, it was my left. I don't turn as well to the left. So I'm just squeezing and holding my left buttock cheek, not holding my breath or clenching my teeth, and then let go. A few more times, you may notice that the side that it was more difficult to turn to is the same side that feels a little bit more awkward, or you may not get as good a contraction on that buttock cheek squeeze as you did on the other side. Good. All right, now let that go. And now have a look over the shoulder that was giving you a little bit more difficulty, whether in range or smoothness of motion, stiffness, and see if that didn't get better just a little bit. Yeah. And probably for 90% of you, that got better. So if somatic education is learning about making connections, and specifically in the Feldenkrais method, we restore and make connections that have been dormant. So when we're squeezing one butt cheek versus the other, there's a very subtle or change in the organization of the weight shift through the bottom of the pelvis. And in the pelvis, of course, is our center of gravity. So often when we have a stiff neck, especially turning one to one side, our pelvis does not also shift or move to one side. So when you start to have the buttocks contraction, like I spoke of, one cheek squeezing, then that subtly starts to make the pelvic girdle shift just a little. And if you remember, I said that the brain's primary job actually is to keep you alive, and it will do anything and everything possible to keep your eyes and ears orientated toward that horizon line. So if you've had an issue, you have changed this pelvic mass or center of gravity in such a way that your horizon line has also shifted, and your eyes and ears and head and upper neck will also shift. So once we start making these connections about in the pelvis, it starts to allow the brain to know that you're able to carry the head over to one side. And once the brain knows that it's able to carry the head, the eyes, and the ears over to one side, and in my case, it was the left side, then it gets easier to turn the whole body. The trunk starts to move. You start to notice the breastbone moves. The eyes move more spontaneously. And neck pain gets better. So, well, thank you again for having me on. And once again, you can reach me at montgomerysomatics.com or montgomerysomatics@gmail.com. Thanks again. Bye-bye.